Hello and croeso to episode 106 of Alternative Wales, the podcast. Joining me tonight to discuss a smorgasbord of pre-winter league football is, of course, the Summer League aficionado himself, Tommy Cowse. Tommy Cowse, how are you? How's it going?
Yeah, that's a genuine term round here, by the way. That's what we all call it, Winter League. So I'm not having standard in my name. Yeah, I'm all right, Yeah, not bad. I'd have been better if we had a bit more success in Europe, but we can't have everything, can we?
Yeah, absolutely. It would be cheating if everything was going good in Welsh football. And to complete the set tonight, we've got Rodri Davies in the midst of a particularly low ebb this week. Yeah. Tell us all about it, Rod.
Well, I've just been to a wedding in Suffolk on the weekend. It was on a Sunday, which is unusual. So, yeah, Saturday, we got there Saturday, drank from the off. So, yeah, I'm currently incredibly hungover. I think my liver's in a worse state than those Greek islands.
Didn't laugh.
Yeah, no.
Serious thing.
I know. Sorry, bad taste that was. but yeah. So you'll have to bear with me tonight, I think.
Yeah, off to a flyer. Fair play.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, you did sort of warn me you were going to be severely hungover, and I thought it would add to the fun of it. So let's see. Let's see if that's correct. Right. Let's start on the football then with the good story, the good news story from this week. Haverford West knocked out North Macedonia's Skendia on penalties in the Europa Conference League. First of all, I think it's a massive result for the club. Fair play to them. And also it's a massive result for Welsh club football going forward after some other disappointing results, which we'll get on to. Rod, you watched it on reflection. They absolutely deserved it, didn't they?
Yeah, I thought they were fantastic. Didn't manage to see a hell of a lot of Haverford West last season, but they looked like real potential contenders to do well in the league this season based on that performance, because it was a really strong performance. And I think it was a well, I was listening to the English language commentary, I think, on the YouTube coverage, and they were saying, I think Skendija is it 6 million budget. So to get through in a two legs against them, that's a hell of an achievement for them. And yeah, like you said, fully deserved. And the Zach Jones. Sorry. I should have checked that before I said it. But yeah, hero in the penalties again.
Yeah.
Bit of a specialist, isn't he? So,
yeah, three shootouts in a row now. He's sort of helped Haverford West win in both playoff games at the end of last season to get them to this stage. He sort of appeared from nowhere because he signed straight from New Zealand. I don't really know much about his story. He's probably someone worth looking into. But
I had a look last week, and he's played for Miramar Rangers, and Miramar's the suburb I spent 6 months in when I went out to New Zealand when I was 19. So
could have been you.
Could have been me. Yeah. Could have been me. Apart from I'm 5 foot and a fart, I couldn't save a bloody file on a computer, let alone a penalty. So.
Yeah, but it's turning out to be a fantastic signing for them. House, obviously great results, great performance. Rod hinted that they could be a bit of a force next season. We'll discuss that in a couple of weeks when it comes to the predictions pod. But yeah, in terms of the grander scheme of things, it's huge for the coefficient and gives, and you know, they're going in to play B36 from Tórshavn in Faroe Islands next season. And as we always say, we don't really know much about them. They are currently in the middle of their season. They're sitting second in the league. They're absolutely no mugs. I think they knocked out TNS a few years ago.
Yeah,
but
they did.
Feel like an opportunity for Haverford West to progress. And it is a tie with probably Rijeka or Rijeka in Croatia that awaits them. Because there's no reason why they can't keep this going, is there?
No, absolutely not. I didn't manage to catch the game. I was watching Llansannan the other night. But we went back to the pub. We were having a few drinks, and we were all watching the penalties go in on our phones. That was absolutely brilliant. It was a great atmosphere watching it. Actually, it was absolutely brilliant. So chuffed for Haverford West. You know, they their chairman's given me a bit of little bit of stick in the past, bit of banter, nothing harm, you know, all harmless fun. But obviously, I tipped him to go down last year, right?
Yeah, didn't
I?
That really it's, worked out very well, it's looking worse and worse by the day now. That prediction,
yeah, only season though, didn't they? I mean,
it is, yeah. That seventh spot is such a strange way to qualify for Europe, but like they're totally making it worth it.
How many times have we said it, Ryze? Well, yeah, no, it is. It makes it so interesting, and you know, thankfully, we have got that seventh spot thing because, you know, otherwise, the season could be very boring very early, couldn't it? Let's be honest. In previous years, but yeah, I think they've got a real chance in this next round. You know, Tórshavn, as you say, if they can get through that, fantastic for the coefficient. And you know, I'm just a massive, massive fan of every Welsh club, and I include TNS as well over the border, obviously. But I include them. I want to see them do as well as they possibly can. I think they've underachieved for a long time. And hopefully they can do well. But yeah, back to Haverford West. No reason why they can't get a result there. They'll be riding the crest of a wave. And yeah, fair play to them. I mean, they could really be a force in the in the league this year as well.
Yeah, and those penalties as well. Obviously, Zach Jones' saves are brilliant. But Jazz Richards and Kai Whitmore scored an absolute
Kai Whitmore, he had a great game as well. I was going to mention him. Is he the one who's at Pennebont before?
Yeah, he left Pennebont in the summer.
I thought him... Jazz Richards and Lee Jenkins in particular were phenomenal. And and whoever had that, it was Kai Whitmore with that first penalty that went top, like right in the top corner. Oh, sensational. I don't think I've ever seen a better penalty. Like genuine.
I've said it on the podcast before. I like a penalty that when people strike a penalty, none of this nonsense of, you know, chipping it or, you know, dodgy run-ups. They were all well-taken penalties. So yeah, fair play to them. Fingers crossed that they can, you know, keep this going, because you know, West Wales hasn't really been represented in, you know, the top levels of Welsh football well over the years. I think Haverford West have always been the biggest club there, and have done all right. But you know, west of Llanelli and Carmarthen, there's not much, but there's a lot of football fans there. So they're representing a big old region, essentially the whole of Pembrokeshire. So fair play to them, and fingers crossed in the next round. I say that through gritted teeth, mainly through jealousy, because I could easily have been Pennebont, but there we are. We'll get onto that in a second. TNS exited the Champions League with a bit of a whimper, losing 5-1 on aggregate to BK Häcken of Sweden. We knew it would be tough as soon as the draw happened, but TNS barely laid a glove over the two legs. They'll now play Hesperange of Luxembourg in the Conference League. What can you see happening there, Kaus?
Well, there you go. I mean, you put nail on the head there, right? Toughest possible draw I think they could have had in the last round. So no real shame. I mean, they were competitive enough. I think they did probably as expected, I would say. Watching bits and bobs of the two legs, they didn't really go after them, but then they didn't want to get an absolute hiding. So sometimes you sort of have to be realistic about it. This is the game that we judge them on now. So there's pressure on this one. They've got to deliver now. This is the sort of game they should be winning. Okay, you know, this team that they're going to be playing, I don't know much about them. I know there'll be no mugs because they've been in Europe. You know, I've seen Luxembourg sides play before, and they are half decent, but no, TNS have got to be winning that sort of tie if they're actually going to progress. TNS are the only club who have been there sustainably, like year on year without ever missing a season in Europe. They've got to start delivering now, otherwise, you know, I'm looking at it and going, well, what's your plan, Mike? You know, what's your plan at TNS? You're not actually progressing. So there's pressure on them for me. They've got to start doing it. And you know, as a Welshman who wants to see our coefficient improve, get more funding, and I think everything falls into place if we can get one of our sides into the Europa League. Unfortunately, perhaps a bit harsh on TNS to say unfortunately, but it is unfortunate that TNS are the ones because they're based over the border. But they are our best hope. So, you know, for me, it's about... you know, put your maybe some people's dislike for TNS aside and just hope that they get through, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And to be honest, looking at their potential opponents for the third round, you know, there's a good chance they should, on paper, at least compete. It's FC Struga of North Macedonia and Buduk Nost Podgorica of Montenegro. So, you know, these are probably countries that maybe our best side should be competing against. It is very hard to say when you don't know the context. Like, for example, I didn't realize until after the game that the Andorran side that Pennebon played are fully professional and bankrolled by an American. And I think their wage bill is almost 3 million a year. You know, and that is massive compared to Pennebon's, who are a semi-professional team, you know, bankrolled by sponsors and bar take-ins, essentially. So the context is difficult because I think we compare these countries and our to the national team, which in Wales's case, it's one of the only cases in Europe where our best sides and most well-funded sides don't play in our country. And therefore, a lot of the talent that makes the national team doesn't come through our national league. So we are sort of always at a disadvantage, which is why we sort of find ourselves lower down in the coefficient. But you're absolutely right. We need to do better in Europe, and TNS lead the way. Obviously, last season, a disappointing campaign in Europe saw Anthony Limbrick get the sack. I can't see that happening to Craig Harrison Kous. I think he's too good a manager in the league that they'll win the league at the canter with him in charge next season. It's probably not worth upsetting the apple cart.
I agree with you. I think Mike's Mike's history with Craig as well. Craig Harrison, he won't be sacking Craig Harrison. I don't think. I thought it was really harsh on Limbrick, by the way. Really, really harsh. I mean, I was very, very impressed by him. Would have been interesting to see him have another bite of the cherry in Europe, but yeah, that's gone. Craig Harrison's there, and it will be very, very interesting. I really just hope that they can get through a round now, get through another round now, because we're not going to progress as a footballing nation in terms of our domestic game and things like that until we can get more money into it, and until we progress in Europe, it's more and more difficult. I honestly think I compare it, and I think I've said that on the pod before, right? I compare it to like the national team. I think when everything finally clicks into place, it'll be a snowball effect, and you'll have more and more people coming to watch games, and by that the standard will improve, and et cetera, et cetera. When it does click, but I think for it to click, we have to get more exposure. And for that to happen, we've got to progress in Europe. Just imagine, though. I mean, you look at the Irish League and, you know, Dundalk getting into the group stage and doing so well and stuff. And you know, all of a sudden, the crowds that they get in the Irish League now are absolutely unbelievable. It's got to happen here.
Yeah, it all goes hand in hand, doesn't it? I was in Andorra last week watching Pennebont. Absolutely heartbreaking way to lose the game. I thought over the 290 minutes in the first leg and the second leg, Pennebont pretty much matched them. I think both teams had spells in both games. So it could have gone either way, really. I don't think, but it was just the manner in the end, you know. Both goals in the second half of extra time, that I think just, you know, it was 31, 32 degree heat. You know, Santa Clara are a professional side. They've got European experience. I think they've played in like 16 of the last 20, European campaigns. Haven't progressed much, but, you know, experience in these things really makes a difference. It would have been really nice to sort of take it to penalties and go to that lottery. But I don't think Pennebont disgraced themselves. I think a few people have sort of made bold claims. It's hard because I'm emotionally invested in it, but it is, you know, a lot of people are like, we've got to be beating sides from Andorra, you know, blah, 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 blah. But like I said, you know, this is a club that has a lot more resources than Pennebont do. Their manager is the father of Cheryshev, the Russian winger. Which I didn't realize until just before the second leg. But yeah, and you know, they got a lot of cast-offs from Spanish Premier League, so they're no mugs. Yeah. And like we say, we sometimes rate you look at Andorra's national team and think, you know, they're minnows, but the clubs aren't made up of Andorran players. So yeah, it was disappointing to lose it the way they did, but I think Penarbon can be proud of it. I'm proud of the way they played in both games. And I think on another day, you know, it's a different result. I said, you know, it would have been interesting to see if the in like it was in Haverford West case, if the home and away leg was swapped, you know, if Penarbon went away and drew 0-0 in 90 minutes in Andorra and were able to take it home, it could be a different affair, but it wasn't. That's the way football goes. But I think a valuable experience for Penarbon. You know, this still a new club, you know, still you know, their first ever foray into Europe. Rhys Griff's doing an unbelievable job there. You know, spoiler alert, I think they're going to finish second this year. I hope they're going to finish second this year. I think they're good enough to finish second this year. And hopefully then another European trip with this experience under their belts will make all the difference. But yeah, I think a good performance overall. And the Andorrans, they knew how to play the game. That second half of extra time was, let's say, a masterpiece of gamesmanship, to put it politely. They played the game. I mean, it summed it up that Chris Venables got a first booking for an aerial challenge where they claimed to use his elbows. I haven't seen it back. I don't really know. And the guy got stretched off. And then 15 minutes later, he was a long break. It was weird because he rolled around and then he sort of looked like he passed out. It was very odd. And obviously, you've got to take these things seriously. But then 20 minutes later, he's running down the line to celebrate with his teammates. So that sort of delegitimized it. But there we are. That's the way these things go. But yeah, fair play to Penarbon. A good effort. And albeit getting knocked out, it's two draws for the coefficient, which is actually not too bad considering some of our previous results. The real disappointment for me is Connors Quay. 4-0 over the two legs to, you know, one of Iceland's sort of lesser sides in terms of, you know, the sides that are in the tournament, albeit they are mid-season. It was so bad that even their owner called them a fucking embarrassment on Twitter at halftime. Kaus, not to sort of slag out owners and stuff, but that is disgraceful to do that in public. I mean, he's blocked you now, so you can probably say what you want. But it's not good, is it? It's really not good, despite it being a disappointing result.
Yeah, I'm all for passion and stuff like that in the game, but you know, how are his players and management going to feel when the chairman's just like slagging him, calling him out like that? It's just disgraceful, you know. I said that to him, and that's why he blocked me. I said, you know, it's disgraceful. You know, it brings the game into disrepute. I know I sound like an absolute square saying that, but it really does. Like, you know, for me, I just think it's so disrespectful. Neil Gibson's gone in there. He's done a good job. They finished second last year.
Comfortably.
Comfortably. You know, something to build on this year. You know, it's going to be tough for them. They haven't, you know, they're going to be playing at Flint. So they're going to be playing essentially away games, you know, every week. So you know, what do you want? What do you want from these lads? How are you expected to attract players when you haven't even got your own ground and stuff like that? I think, you know, I'm going to say it. I think Mr. Dewhurst needs to have a look at himself as well. I think, you know, fair play. He's put a lot of money into that club. Massive respect for that, you know, but don't just slag off your players and management. It must be absolutely, you know, soul destroying to see your chairman speak about you like that. You know, I'm almost certain that those lads would have put absolutely everything into that game. And I know Neil Gibson, very highly rated manager, massively respected throughout most of Welsh football. And, you know, he's got a chairman speaking about it, his team like that. Just shocking for me.
The thing is, if he says, like, in public, like he has, it is, like you said, it's disgraceful. He could tell them himself behind closed doors. It's just totally unnecessary to do it publicly like that as well, isn't it? That's what I think. You can have them feelings if you own the club, but just to put it on a public forum, like something a fan would do, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
Do you fear
that's the sort of thing that Des Williams was doing at Kevin Druidson? You know, we all know how that ended. I'm not going to say nomads are going to go the same way. But it
could. We've seen it happen. You know, they don't have a ground now. You know, they've got an owner who could combust at any time. You know, he could pull his money out tomorrow if he's that annoyed. Do you worry for Gibson, Kaus, in terms of his job now going forward? Or
well, I mean, most normal people from the outside looking in would
it's obvious he stays.
He's done a good job, you know. Like, what do you want? He inherited a bit of a mess. Obviously, Morrison. I mean, what Morrison achieved there was nothing short of incredible. The season he left, Harrison came in, okay, won the League Cup, but they were not doing well in the league and they really fell away. And if you remember rightly, I know they had the points deduction, but they very nearly went down. And then Gibbo's come in, he's got him up to second place. He seems to have stabilised the club, brought in some good players. And, you know, they're trying to build again, trying to build to go again. Now, that doesn't happen overnight. But I mean, you know, I think Dewis thinks he can just throw a few quid at it and make everything go away. It doesn't work like that. You've got to build, and you know, you can't, when you're up against a side like TNS with all their resources, it takes more than one season to build a title winning side.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's sitting defense a bit, right? But no, I don't think he is going, no.
Yeah, no, I'd like to think he wouldn't. The game would be gone, I think, if he did. Overall then, Rhys Hartley asked that, if you could rate the Welsh team's performances in Europe on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being fucking dreadful and 5 being couldn't have gone better. How would you go then, Rod, on Haverford West first, TNS second, Pennebon third, Connors Quay fourth, 1 to 5? How are you going?
Well, I'm going 5 for Haverford West.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's about getting through, and they did it. And they also did it by playing superbly. I didn't catch much of the away leg, but the home leg, yeah. TNS, like you both said earlier, probably had the toughest draw they could have had. So on that basis, I'd probably, you know, I'll say 3, maybe 2.5.
Like Kau said, they judged on the next round now.
Yeah. Pennebont, I'd say I'd give them 3. Maybe it would have been 4 if they got through, but like you said, they didn't lose really, did they, in normal time? So, and yeah, I'll have to give Connors Keir a 1.5. the 0.5 is just to piss Dewhurst off, I think. Yeah.
Kaus, what do you reckon?
I pretty much go along with that. Maybe say 2 for Connors Quay. I think they were competitive enough, but they just fell short. Pretty much what Rod said. I think there. I think Pennebont will be kicking themselves. Absolutely, yeah. Rhys Griffiths will have seen that as a real opportunity, so they'll be disappointed with that. But having said that, hey, you know, they were very, very unlucky, I think.
Yeah, I think the one thing this season is we've been competing. There hasn't been any 6-7 nils on aggregate, you know, which we've seen in the past. You know, Barry go to Faroe Islands and losing 5-0 in recent memory. Not the end of the world, but you know, we've got to be better in future. So that's the clubs in Europe. Obviously, we'll keep an eye on Haverford West and TNS as the weeks progress. Kaus, the MG Cup started this weekend. Competitive club football is back. The Winter League is officially underway. The standout result for me, Bangor beating Holywell 3-2. Fantastic way for Bangor to mark their return to the second tier. Have you heard much about how that game went, how Bangor looked, Holywell at full strength? Is it a sign of things to come?
No, neither side were at full strength, to be honest, okay. Hollywell especially were missing quite a few players there. But that said, now from what I'm told, Bangor thoroughly deserved to win. It's still a big win. Hollywell a strong side no matter what. But as we know, Hollywell just do not get going until the end of August, start of September. It just seems to happen every year. They start quite poorly, but obviously Johnny there in Holywell, Johnny Hasselden, will be hoping that they can start the league a little bit better. I'm going to pick out Rhythin Town against Llandudno, though, to be honest, right? Rhythin Town won in the end 3-2, but Llandudno were 2-1 up in the second half, and I think they had 16-year-olds in the starting 11.
Wow!
So they were very, very unlucky. As we know, Llandudno lost most of their squad, but they had two or three experienced lads alongside a team full of teenagers, and they gave Rhythin a bit of a fright. So that's a really, you know, that's really unlucky for them, and I think maybe it shows that. They're not just going to be relegation fodder, you know, this season. I think they might be able to put up a fight in tier two. I think the other one as well, I've got to mention Denby Town, obviously, winning the Chirk as well. And I think Pot Madoc as well, winning 4-2 against Llanidloes. So I think it's been great as well, right? I've got to say, down south, the addition of Swansea and Cardiff has been great.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
The crowds have been absolutely brilliant, and it's a welcome addition. I'd like to see Newport and Wrexham next year as well, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't see why not. I'm sure there's a way to make it work. Especially, I mean, Cam Ryan and Clinic had a good old go at Cardiff, went to penalties. Cardiff itched it. Swansea 4-0 against Carmarthen. I think that was a bit of a rout. But Iwan Morgan scoring for Swansea, who was in that Wales under 17 squad, who I think has got a bright future ahead of him. All around, nice to see competitive football back. The North and South start on the weekend. We'll do a bit more on who we think will do well in a couple of weeks when we do our Cymru Premier preview. We'll do it all in one. That's exciting. Get out to see a game if you can. In international news, we've had some friendly info. The Gibraltar game is officially announced for Wrexham. Kous, obviously returned to Wrexham first time since 2019 against European giants Gibraltar. It's long overdue. Are you and the rest of the Wrexham and surrounding areas looking forward to it?
I don't usually like friendlies, to be honest, but it's nice to see the national team return up north. I hope that most of the people, at least, who want to get a ticket. It's very difficult to get a ticket at the racecourse for club and country these days, so I just hope that it all goes well. And let's see the racecourse increase the capacity and get some Nations League games back there in the next few years. Fingers crossed.
I think it's an absolute disgrace that they're asking people from the south to travel to North Wales on a Thursday night. Though I think it's a Thursday night. I think that's an absolute disgrace. So
I quite agree. I'm looking forward to Rods doing what I do and stay up all night in Wrexham and get the 5 a.m.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I've still actually never been to a game at the racecourse because I missed the Trinidad friendly. I was working, I'll make sure I'm there for that. I'm looking forward to finally getting out and about in the Kairas. On the other hand, South Korea friendly now in September. The tickets were released last week or this week. Can't remember exactly. All blurs into one. £25 for a friendly on a Thursday night. It seems a bit excessive, and it's a shame because that's 25 plus all the other booking fees and stuff. You know, Rod, just seems a bit excessive, doesn't it, that price?
Yeah, especially for a friendly, you know. You think the chance to get more people involved that don't usually get to go to games, because I don't think the interest is quite there compared to qualifying or competitive games, so... You know, you make them cheaper, you're more likely to fill the ground out, don't you? So, missed opportunity. And it's just, I don't see why the price is the price it is. I know people can compare it to the rugby and it's a hell of a lot cheaper, but it's still, you know, you let it creep up a little bit and they'll keep creeping it up year on year. Mm-hmm. You've got to got to make your case now when it starts going up in prices. So yeah, I think they've messed up with that one big time. Could at least be £15 enough for a friendly, I think.
Yeah.
You know, £20 max, I'd say. But there we are. I don't know. It's just one of those things that happens these days. They don't think of the fan much, unfortunately. So, yeah.
Yeah, and we give the FAW a lot of credit. I think they're one of the best, national governing bodies of football in the world.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Kous just seems like a big old misstep. I think you mentioned earlier, you know, wouldn't it be better to have tickets at a tenner and have 30,000 in than £25 and have 10 to 15,000 in?
Yeah, 100%. I don't think like £25 is like disgustingly expensive or anything
that's a fair price. It's pretty good on the good price.
I just agree with what you two have said. I think it's really short-sighted and really missed opportunity. Like I say, £10 for adults, £5 for juniors. You'd have had a great crowd there. You know, almost you'd have got 30,000 there. I think £10 and £5. Great opportunity to pack the ground for a friendly and just let people on lower incomes have a chance to watch their country for a change. You know, it's difficult. 25. I don't know how much the junior price is, by the way. Is it 15 or £20 or something?
I'm not
like
sure.
But you know, families on lower incomes can't afford, you know, a family of four, say, they can't afford to go and watch at those prices, unfortunately. It would have been a great opportunity to have families on lower incomes be able to go and watch a Wales game as a family of four or five or whatever. I just think it's a real shame. And like I say, there'll be 12, 13,000 there. It'll be, you know, the atmosphere will be completely dead and it'll be just a bit of a damp squib all round, to be honest, unfortunately. You're absolutely right. The FAW do a lot of good things. But that's a missed opportunity for me.
Yeah, agree. Right then, that's sort of it from the football this week. It's been a quietish week in terms of transfers for the EFL clubs. Next week will be our preview pod. So if you usually come here for sort of Welsh clubs playing in England chat, apologies tonight, but it'll be wall-to-wall Welsh clubs playing in England chat next week with fans of each of the five clubs. If you're listening from, you know, our usual contributors for that podcast, I haven't asked you yet, so surprise, expect a message off me soon. Right, that's it for that part. Let's talk to Phillips next. Adrian Phillips?
I am here.
Are you there? Yeah, okay.
I am here.
Beat me to it. How are you?
Hot, mate. You'll find out why in a minute.
Great, can't wait. Are you going to tell us all?
Yeah, I thought I gotta get my team together.
Yeah,
seeing as I do own a football club, so I took a team of trialists to Egypt.
Okay,
because apparently warm weather training is all the rage these days.
Yeah,
so I took them to an Egyptian military training area near the Aswan Dam.
Pull some strings of you to get there.
Ken Cow had some contacts in the Egyptian military. I didn't ask what, how, or
yeah,
when,
yeah,
but
yeah, of course.
He suggested, because he reckons he's done a PhD in, I don't know, something. so he said that...
Dr. Cow.
Dr. Ken Cow.
Dr. Cow.
Yeah. Cow. we probably have to call him that now.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, Dr. Cow. Anyway, so he recommended that we go and do this Egyptian warm weather military training camp.
Right.
But as you can probably tell, it didn't go very well.
Oh, there's a surprise.
Shock.
Well, do you know Egypt by near the Aswan Dam in this military training area was about 50 degrees in the shade? he had them training three times a day.
Yeah.
So the likes of Richard de la Valera, David Ginn, Michael Mole.
David Ginn.
Michael Mole.
Trevor had transit and and Frank Vonk were I can't name all the trailers because I've said about 20 of them, but those boys are severely ill now.
Oh my god!
Because the thing is, they were suffering from heat exhaustion because it was raining three times a day in 50 degree heat.
Of course.
And but
good
Ken,
sports science there, Pepe.
I don't know if his PhD is in sports science or any sort of medicine, because he said they were losing too much salt from their body, so he encouraged them to drink seawater. Now, David Gin is currently in the heath with a collapsed kidney.
Here we go.
Die Gin.
Yeah. Well, actually, no. I'd say that most of the players, the report I've read is that most players are in the heath because they all drank seawater.
Well, straight back to Cardiff Airport, straight to the heath then.
Well, yeah. Michael Mole's still in Egypt, because his kidney's backed up completely.
He's gone and underground, has he?
Those who disagreed with cow science,
everyone on earth.
they suffered from heat exhaustion to an extent that is beyond comprehension. So, yeah, we actually played a game.
Okay, yeah. Talk to me about it.
We lost 16-0 to Pyramids. Now, right. When I saw that on the itinerary, I thought it'd be either sightseeing, or just playing a team of blokes who, like, you know, tour guides from the Pyramids. turns out the Pyramids FC came third in the Egyptian Premier League last year, and they were playing against a bunch of idiots who had heat stroke and like severely unbalanced kidneys.
Unbalanced kidneys.
I don't know the
another Ken Cow diagnosis.
Yeah. So we lost 16-0, but yeah, all in all, a great team bonding exercise.
Excellent. Sounds like pre-season is going really well. When are you going to be announcing sign-ins? Anyone impress you?
As soon as they let me know when they've been released from the heath. like I said, a great team bonding exercise. The boys really stuck together. They're all together in the heath.
Yeah. Team building exercise, recovering from a grave illness.
Some of them being kept alive by machines. And
oh, Dr. Cow has a lot to answer for.
Yeah, was he for? Did he used to work at Southampton by any chance with that sort of science? I don't know.
I
always think there's nothing better for morale than imminent danger to life. Isn't
yeah. Well, you know, that's why people go paintballing.
Some would say Dr. Cow is milking this PhD.
But some would say he hasn't got a PhD.
Yeah.
So I've got a few players like those boys who I named earlier. They performed well in the friendly, considering they were stricken by illness. I don't know. It's just gone horribly wrong, isn't it? Isn't the British Medical Council there after Cow for something?
Forgery of a PhD.
Litigation against him, so I'll have to suspend him for a few weeks.
Yeah, we are.
Worst case scenario, they can swap, I don't know, one of the kidneys with like a crab's kidney or something, seeing as he's into this sort of, you know, cross, what do you call them?
I don't know, but you're talking a lot of sense there, because if he's going to make them drink seawater, a crab would be ideal. Anyway, enough about biology. We'll live and learn from that experience. But don't go to Egypt and play a Egyptian Premier League team when your team is kind of struggling to. What does a kidney do? Make things or something.
So, no, we haven't got any scientists here, so...
Okay. I certainly don't know any scientists. That Dr. Cow is a fraud. Like Dr. Shakamoto.
Great to catch up with you, Phillips.
Glad to see you still doing the same old thing of getting into legal trouble and almost killing people. So,
yeah.
Yeah, well, it's like survival of the fittest, isn't it? But so
surprise Interpol or someone like that after you for you.
The Polish police is still on it. Yeah, so I think that was a disaster. So I'll maybe expect to announce some signings next week and some sort of league that we're going to play in. But don't hold your breath.
Yeah, off you go. It's visiting hours at the Heath now, so you better go.
I'm not visiting there. Solicitors and stuff waiting for me.
Well, send gin and mole and transit or whatever it was, my best.
Can't send any gin to them. The kidneys are gone, mate.
Oh, dear.
There you go. Off you go, Phillips.
All right, come on. Better go, boys. Better go. Better keep my head down for a bit.
All the best, Phillips. Catch up with you soon.
Cheers, boys.
Welcome back. I hope you stuck around after Phillips's farce. Let's kick off part two with our traditional usual game. To celebrate Haverford West's trip to the Faroe Islands this week, we're going back 30 years to the 6th of June, 1993, where a Wales side beat the Faroe Islands 3-0 in Tórshavn in our eventually doomed 1994 World Cup qualifying campaign. So a bit of a tough one this week. This will test the nostalgia.
Yeah, slightly before my
yeah
memory started working, I think.
Right, as usual, forgot to get something to flip. I've got a memory card here from a camera.
I love the fact you've got something different every week.
Yeah, it could be a little ongoing thing now. Yeah. Kaus won last week, didn't you? No, Phillips won last week. Yeah, fucking hell. Well, that's a worrying sign of the times.
House doesn't reflect well.
I think Rod went out first, so you get to choose. Do you want sticker side or non-sticker side of this memory card? When I flip it,
sticker side, please.
No problems. Okay, let's get this flipped right now. My mic down. Sticker side it is, Kaus. Would you like to go first or second?
I would like to go second, please.
There we are, playing the mind games early doors.
Yeah.
Rod, then, kick us off. 6th of June, 1993. Wales 3, Faroe Islands 0.
Right, I could go out quite earlier, I think.
Yep, you could.
Neville Southall.
Correct. There's one in the bag you threw around. Kaus, what are you saying?
I mean, I know so many players from round then, but I may as well just go for it because I don't know who started that game.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for Barry Horn.
Correct. Right. You both threw one round. Rod, pressure's on.
Paul Bowden.
Correct. Ooh, so far, so good. Kaus, pressure's on.
Mark Hughes.
Correct.
Gee, you're doing quite well, yeah?
Yeah, this is probably the best you've ever done.
I'm going to go for Gary Speed.
No. He came off the bench.
Yeah.
Came off the bench. Right, so Kaus.
I shouldn't be eliminated for that. That's what my thoughts are. But anyway.
To win it, Kaus. To win it. Who are you going for?
Oh, I'm between two. I'm going to go for Kevin Ratcliffe.
You're wrong.
Oh, oh. You...
So carries on. Rod, you get another roll of the dice.
Right. I'm gonna say sorry, this is not a very good podcasting, is it? Silence.
Tension, build the tension.
Well, I fuck it, Ryan Giggs.
Correct.
Ian Rush.
Correct. Oh, six. Jesus. Six out of the 11 done now.
Oh, who's that? Right. We don't get any hints on the positions we've got left, do we?
three defenders, one midfielder, one forward, I think.
I got Dean Saunders.
Correct.
I was going to go for Saunders, but how?
Yeah, I was
the
thinking,
hell...
how's Rush, Hughes, and Saunders stuff, and Giggs?
Absolutely ridiculous.
What's going on there? What bombing should we play?
Absolutely ridiculous.
4-2-4.
So defenders. So it's going to have to be Mark Bowen.
No, Rodri wins. Right. So the team lineup was.
I bet Hazelwood was in there.
Hazelwood,
Hazelwood, yeah.
So Southall, Hazelwood, Bowden, Kit Simons, Eric
Kit
Young,
Simon, Eric Young, mate.
David Phillips, Ryan Giggs, Barry Horn, Mark Hughes, Ian Rush, Dean Saunders.
Fuck.
So another win for Rod. I think that's your third win, Rod. You're running away with it.
I'm happy with that. Happy with that.
Very good.
Kaus's guesses is what ones I would have picked out as well. The Rackler from Bowen were ones I'd have gone for. So
that was good. That was a. One of the probably the deepest we've ever gone, considering it was maybe one of the more rogue games. Although I do think that one where I picked America, that friendly in 2003, was probably a little bit harsh.
Yeah,
that was rogue.
What's the next one going to be? From 1911 or something?
Yeah, the first ever Wales international against Scotland. Against Scotland. Right, let's get on to some questions. We haven't got many this week, which is nice for a change, because usually we're wading through some fucking rubbish. But I appreciate everyone's questions every week. You're an absolute joy. Matthew Davis, do you have any irrational fears? Rod?
Irrational fears?
Yeah.
Well, don't know, ever since I don't think it's an irrational fear, though, because a lot of people, but I watched that film Sully about 10 years, 8 years, or however long. And I've got fear of birds on runways now when I'm in a plane. So
fair enough.
In case they get sucked into the engine and we have to land in a river in New York.
Kaus, any irrational fears?
Yeah, well, say irrational, but barbed wire. I absolutely hate barbed wire. Surely that's quite rational, isn't it? Because it can't harm you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I've got this weird thing that I can't look at it. If I look at it, I'll automatically just shut my eyes.
Is it like cats with cucumbers? Jump when you see barbed wire.
I don't really have any irrational fears, actually. Mine are just all rational, like, you know, impending doom and that sort of thing. Death, global warming. Phillips is still knocking around but being quiet. Why have you put his hand up?
People with PhDs.
Yeah, just being associated with Phillips in a professional capacity, that's an irrational fear.
Yeah.
But there we go. Evan Powell asks, what's the best way to kill a wasp? Rod, you must have killed some wasps in your time. I don't know why. You just strike me as a man who is bothered by wasps. How would you kill one?
They're one of two things I don't mind killing, because I don't like...
So it needlessly wasps and children.
Oh, what the wasps and flies. Just menaces, aren't they? So, don't know. Can't really use a gun or anything like I can use to kill a wasp. So,
why wasps? Are we talking about the insect or white Anglo-Saxon Protestant?
You've outed the whole theme of the question now. you just, if you've got something to hand like a magazine or newspaper, I don't know, something like that.
Funny you should say magazine. Issue 10 is still available and is a really good
wasp
way to kill wasps. If you don't want to read it, at least you can kill a wasp with it. Kaus, what about you? How would you kill a wasp if you could?
I don't like them. Certainly don't like them. I did like, I think it was... I think it was Gwilym from the Aberystwyth Soul Cruise reply, angle grinder. I thought that was good.
Mustard gas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Napalm. Yeah. Or seen as this, Oppenheimer, atomic bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Yeah, I reckon that'll do the trick.
Yeah. Good stuff. The Podfather, Alan March, Alan the Axe, his question, trivia. Temperatures across the world continue to rise. Brilliant. Breaking records every year now. Then what's the highest temperature ever recorded in Wales? Kaus, do you want to have a go at what the highest ever temperature in Wales is?
Yeah, I think it was in Porthmadog, because whenever there's hot weather, it's always the hottest place in Wales is always Porthmadog.
O'Harden.
O'Harden was it?
Oh, well, I don't know, but that's always yeah. up there.
Oh, yeah, no, Harden is. You are right. Yeah, it's either Porthmadog or Harden. But I'm going to go highest ever. I think it was probably last year, wasn't it?
It might have been, yeah.
I think it was about, was it like 40.5 or something like that?
We'll see. Rod, what do you think?
I was going to go for about 36.
Yeah, 37.1.
I knew it was 0.1 because I remember seeing the
98.8 Fahrenheit. So I'm sure we're not far off a 100 Fahrenheit day in the near future. So that's very good stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, but it rained yesterday in so global warming doesn't exist.
How if global warming's a thing, how come it's still cold in the winter? Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes you think.
Fahrenheit 911 somewhere.
There we are. Yeah. Cheers, Phillips.
Yeah.
Back in the hole you came from. Ben Price said, Cardiff is a very multicultural city. It contains people with heritage from all over the globe, apart from Finland, because it doesn't exist. He knows. And the diversity of people makes it such a special city. So why is this so shit at restaurants that aren't chains? Now, Rodri and Kaus haven't lived, Rod, you've lived in Cardiff, but not for a long time.
Not with enough budget to eat out anyway.
Yeah.
Put it that way, yeah.
I think maybe Ben gives Cardiff a slight disservice. There are some really good non-chain restaurants, mainly outside of the city centre, which Rhys Hartley does say, especially sort of Asian cuisines. But I think in the centre, it's particularly shit. Selection, mainly because chains just dominate. But I think that's the way of the world now, unfortunately. Gentrification and whatnot. But if anyone is looking for a really good place to eat in Cardiff, it's fairly central. It is in Grangetown, but Matsudai Ramen, if you're into a bit of Japanese, fucking unbelievable. Unbelievable. And fairly well priced, all things considered. So that's my tip. Joe has asked, just because other accounts have kickstarted the Cymru Prem predictions threads, doesn't mean we can't see you writing off ABBA already. What will this season's forfeit be after ABBA comprehensively, like last season, stay up again? Now, Joe, we'll get on to the predictions in a fortnight. I'm trying my best to not relegate ABBA, struggling. But if the Soul Crew and Joe and any other ABBA fans listening, want to send in potential forfeits, I'll let Rod and Kaus pick one for me if ABBA stay up out of them. So be kind. And that is that I'm going for it-ish, maybe, within reason.
Yeah. There's a small print there, isn't there?
There is a little bit. You know, like, if it is, you know, like, jump off a bridge or kill a man or something, then I probably won't, but... You know,
we'll vote conservative.
Yeah, too far. Disgusting. Right, final question for this evening. Boosh, here he is. We missed him last week, but he's back this week. Gina works the diner all day, working for her man. She brings home her pay for love. For love. Sang Bon Jovi. I've been weeding a borders. It's a job I dislike, but gives me great satisfaction. What jobs or chores do you dislike, but gives you satisfaction? And he's gone on to send a photo to say, this isn't a tomato growing. It's the fruit of a potato. They're highly poisonous. Who knew? There we are. Cheers, Boosh. Kaus. Kaus, is there a job or a chore you dislike, but gives you satisfaction? Yeah.
Fucking hearing Boosh's questions, probably. No, hey, listen. I think there's scope for Boosh's gardening corner of the podcast. I think that'd be quite good. That. Do you know what? I hate washing the dishes. Fucking hate it. And I just leave them pile up, and I just put it off fucking hate it, but once I've done them, it's just such a good feeling.
Yeah,
like it's like a hit of serotonin. It's absolutely brilliant. But yeah, absolutely hate doing the dishes.
Rod.
Well, it's not a job I've done that many times in my life, but pressure washing a patio or something like that.
yeah, it's a good shout.
Seeing the dirt come up, it does give you a bit of satisfaction, but it's another rancid job that you'd rather not be doing. So
yeah, I think showering sometimes, like I always shower.
Not a job.
putting that out there, like it's a chore, isn't it? Like if you didn't have to shower, we wouldn't shower. But then sometimes when you do shower, it's like, yeah, this is good. This is good. And on the other hand, maybe the bins, because I always did the bins. Sometimes you look at it.
You just reminded me of my bin. I gotta get the bins out tonight. No.
Making the bed as well. For some reason, making the bed always feels like such a massive job. When it's done, it's worth it. It's worthwhile, you know.
Well, like changing the
duvet. Yeah, that. But also just making it in the morning, you know, rather than leaving it in a scrumbled mess.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my 2 pence on that. And that's it. That's the end of the pod. We'll be back next week with our Welsh clubs playing in England preview pod. First one with Wrexham in the EFL. That's exciting, isn't it? That is exciting. But yeah, we'll chat to fans of each of the 5 clubs playing in England. That leads me to say, Rodri, any closing statements from you?
No, not really. Not this week. I'm just going to go for a big lie down now, I think. So
you deserve it.
Yeah.
To be fair, Rod, you said you were going to struggle, but I think you've done a sterling job.
It's been all right. Yeah. As far, I go as far as that. No better, no worse. But yeah. Everyone keep on trucking. I'm going to park my truck.
Park it up.
Something like that, yeah.
Open the hatch and go for a nap in the bunk.
In the lay-by, yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. Kaus, any closing statements from you?
No, don't think so, mate. Other than, yeah, just keep that truck rolling, Rods. Come on.
Get that Pro Plus and you'll get back on the road.
Fill her up with diesel, son, and off you go. I'm picking a track this week. It's a favourite of the pod's new single, Mellt. With their new single Diwrnod Arall. So that'll play us out. Another great tune from them off the production line. They really miss when it comes to that. And as usual, the best way to support the podcast is by buying a magazine. I better get a move on, really, because the pre-order will be coming out in probably 10 days or so for next month's, for September's issue. To be honest, I haven't got any of it planned, so I'm going to have to get my arse in gear. Now I'm back from gallivanting across America and Europe. Good luck to Haverford West on Thursday. Kind of good luck to TNS through gritted teeth as well. Do it for Wales, for crying out loud, TNS. That's it from us. Thanks again, as always, for listening. We'll be back next week. Diolch yn fawr. This is Diwrnod Arall by Mellt. Diolch yn fawr.